I'm not taking no for an answer. We won't be gone long. Reluctantly, Haley closed up the binder on her desk, picked up her purse, and followed Natalie into the elevator. If nothing else, she could use some fresh air to clear her head. Natalie pressed the button for the lower level. What are you in the mood for? Haley shrugged. Anything. I'm not even hungry. Natalie shook her head in disbelief. First you can't sleep, now you can't eat? What's going on with you? Before Haley could respond, the elevator dinged, and the doors opened in the underground parking structure. Hold that thought, Natalie said briskly. You can tell me everything over lunch. 10 minutes later, they slipped into a high-backed leather booth at Al Forno, a local Italian restaurant that offered a quiet, intimate atmosphere and served excellent pizza. You have to eat something, Natalie insisted, eyeing the menu as the tantalizing smell of a rich seafood pasta dish wafted their way from the next booth. Haley placed her elbows on the table and rested her head in her hands. Just order a pizza, any vegetarian one. I'll split it with you. When the waiter came by, Natalie selected a smoked eggplant and basil pizza and ordered an iced tea for herself. Diet Coke for me, Haley said. I need the caffeine. Moments later, one of the waitstaff appeared with a platter of homemade bread and dipping oil and placed it on the table. So, Natalie said, tearing off a hunk of bread and arching a brow at Haley. What's going on? Did something else happen? Haley shivered, the sound of a creaking floorboard echoing in her aching head. Natalie appraised her with concern. Are you cold? Or are you coming down with something? Someone was in my house last night, Haley blurted out. Natalie's eyes narrowed. What do you mean? An intruder, walking around upstairs. What? Natalie threw a quick glance around the restaurant and then leaned in closer. Did you catch him? No. I heard the floorboard creaking outside the guest bedroom. By the time I woke Jake up and sent him out to take a look, the intruder had gone. Natalie blinked and sat back in her chair, digesting the news. How do you know for sure there was someone in your house? I mean, I'm not doubting that you heard the floorboard creaking, but sometimes houses make weird noises. Haley shook her head. Somebody definitely walked across that floorboard. It makes a very distinctive sound. And that's not all. I couldn't get back to sleep, so I went down to the kitchen around 5 or so to make coffee. When I sat down at the table, I saw a face pressed up against the window staring in at me. Natalie clapped a hand to her mouth, her eyes widening in alarm. Did you recognize him? No, he was wearing a ski mask. I assume it was a man. He was fairly tall. Did you set Katniss on him? She wasn't there, Haley explained. I had her spayed yesterday, and she had a bad reaction to the anesthesia, so the vet kept her overnight. It can't be a coincidence. Someone knew our movements and struck while the dog was gone. Did Jake see the face at the window? No, he was asleep. I called Detective Tillett, and he sent an officer over. He searched around the perimeter of the house, but he didn't see any sign of anyone. He took my statement, though. Haley's voice trailed off as the waiter approached with their order. He set down their pizza with a flourish.
Anything else I can get you, ladies?
No, thank you, Haley said, squeezing her lips into a smile. This looks great. Natalie reached for a slice of pizza and took a large bite. Yum, this place makes the best thin crust ever. Haley stared at the sizzling pizza, her stomach recoiling at the thought of food. Natalie lifted a piece and slapped it down on Haley's plate. Eat, she commanded her. You're going to waste away. I'm not having it. Haley lifted the pizza to her lips and took a tentative bite, hoping she could keep it down. For the next few minutes, they focused on their food, the silence interspersed with Natalie's appreciative moans. She let out a satisfied sigh and wiped her lips with her napkin. So are the police going to follow up on the intruder? Interview your neighbors again? I'm not sure, Haley responded. Detective Tillett already paid Harold a visit last week. He claims he only left the house a handful of times in the past year. I don't think Detective Tillett really believes he's the stalker. And I tend to agree. Harold's mean-spirited enough to carry out some of the things that have happened, but he's overweight and unfit. It would be hard for him to move around undetected. So who do you think is behind it? Natalie asked. Haley pondered the question for a minute. I haven't ruled out everyone in my cul-de-sac yet. Like I told you before, there's a possibility Stan might still have a key to our house. That makes me uncomfortable. Natalie wrinkled her brow. But what motive would he have to stalk you? I don't know. Haley threw up her hands despairingly. I don't understand how stalkers think. Maybe they just get a kick out of tormenting people. The words hung in the air, the irony not lost on her. She'd been that person once, getting a kick out of making life miserable for others. Except deep down she hadn't enjoyed it. She just hadn't had the backbone to stand up to Lachlan. Does Detective Tillett still think Jake might be behind it? Natalie asked. He hasn't ruled him out yet, Haley said. But Jake was asleep in the bed next to me when I heard the prowler. So what are you going to do? Call a locksmith and have the locks changed, for starters. I meant to do it this morning, but I got snowed under with work. Haley sighed. The officer who came by suggested that we stay with friends for a couple of nights in case the stalker comes back. You're welcome to bunk with me if you want, Natalie offered, taking a sip of her iced tea. Thanks, but Jake would never agree to it. Besides, Katniss will be home tonight. I'm picking her up after work. Haley poked at a piece of eggplant on her plate. Actually, I've been thinking about signing up for a self-defense class. At the end of the day, I can't count on Jake or Katniss to protect me. It's not like someone can be with me 24/7. That's a good idea, Natalie said. Want me to go with you? Haley tweaked a smile. Would you? Sure, why not? Maybe the instructor will be hot. They dissolved into laughter, and Haley reached for another slice of pizza. My appetite's returning. No sense in letting this go to waste. Feeling heartened by Natalie's offer to accompany her to self-defense classes, Haley was finally able to concentrate on her work after lunch and take care of the most critical matters Nick needed on his desk by day's end. In between, she found the time to make a quick call to a locksmith who agreed to come out first thing in the morning. When the office closed for the day, Haley packed up her things and walked over to Natalie's desk. There's a martial arts studio just down the street that offers self-defense classes. Do you want to swing by and check it out? Natalie shrugged. Why not? Now's as good a time as ever. Haley texted Jake to let him know she'd arranged for a locksmith to come in the morning and to remind him that she was going to pick up Katniss after work and would be home late. She didn't mention the fact that she was going to sign up for a self-defense class. Jake would think she was overreacting and try to talk her out of it. She plugged the studio address into her GPS and exited the parking lot with Natalie following behind. They pulled up outside Eagle Martial Arts a short time later and headed into the building. To Haley's surprise, the studio took up the entire first floor. They approached the front desk, a simple but sleek black counter with a solitary monitor. Behind it, a short, stocky, dark-haired man dressed in a white martial arts jacket and pants was typing on a keyboard. He got to his feet when he saw them and bowed in greeting.
Welcome. My name is Koki. I'm one of the instructors here. Can I answer any questions for you?
Haley threw Natalie a discreet glance, trying not to laugh. He wasn't exactly hot, but if nothing else, he was polite and cordial. We'd like some information about your self-defense classes for women, Haley said.
We currently have openings on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 until 8:30 in the evening. The instructor's name is Haruki. I can introduce you if you like. He's in the office out back taking care of some paperwork.
What's the cost per class? Haley inquired.
$90 for semi-private, so 45 each, Koki answered. Would you like a quick tour of the studio?
Sure, Natalie said, looking at Haley, who nodded in confirmation. I just need to leave in time to pick up Katniss before the vet closes at 7. Koki trotted out from behind the desk and indicated for them to follow him as he made his way toward the mats in the middle of the high-ceiling space where a group of students were going through their paces.
They're warming up with alternating ankle flexes, Koki explained, and that's a stride punch the instructor is demonstrating.
After watching for a few minutes, Koki led them away from the mats.
On the back wall here, we have our safety equipment, full-size kick shields and handheld pads.
Haley eyed them warily. Will we be needing those?
More than likely,
Koki beamed at her.
We don't want to incapacitate you during training. Kind of defeats the purpose of what we're doing here. Let's continue back this way. Restrooms are on the left, also cubbies and lockers to stash shoes and valuables.
He led them down a short corridor.
And here's our office. Haruki can register you if you're ready to sign up.
He gestured for them to go ahead of him. Natalie and Haley stepped into the cramped but neat office space. The man behind the desk got to his feet and bowed.
My name is Haruki. I'm very pleased to meet you.
They introduced themselves and sat down while Koki bowed and excused himself.
Which classes are you interested in?
Haruki asked. A semi-private self-defense class, Haley responded.
Excellent.
Haruki reached for some forms and passed one each to Natalie and Haley, along with a couple of pens.
Go ahead and fill out all the information and make a note of any medical conditions. I'm sure Koki mentioned already that we have openings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Is there a particular day that works better for you?
We'd like to get started right away, Haley said. Next Tuesday would be great. Haruki nodded.
I typically recommend at least 4 sessions to get a good grasp of the techniques.
That sounds great, Natalie said, glancing up from her paperwork. Haley filled out her details and listed Jake as her emergency contact, hoping he wouldn't need to be called for any reason. When she got to the last question at the bottom of the form, she hesitated. What prompted you to sign up for self-defense classes today? She debated writing something innocuous. Did she really want to divulge why she was here? Would Haruki even believe her? Natalie set down her pen with a flourish and handed over her paperwork. Haley hurriedly set about answering the final question before passing her form to Haruki. He glanced over it and then stared keenly at Haley.
You have a stalker?
Haley gave a grim nod. Yes. Haruki scrutinized her for a moment, as if deliberating over something. He set down the forms and blinked solemnly.
You need to understand that my class is no substitute for a weapon. If you are in imminent danger, I strongly recommend more drastic measures to protect yourself. This isn't the first time I've encountered a situation like this, and unfortunately, it didn't end well.
Chapter 18. Natalie and Haley exited the martial arts studio, somewhat shaken by Haruki's warning. He's right, you know, Natalie said. This isn't going to stop your stalker. Maybe not, but it can't do any harm to learn a few techniques to defend myself. Every woman should take a class like this. I hope I don't make a total fool of myself, Natalie confided. You'll do fine. Knowing me, I'll be the dork, Haley reassured her. What will Jake think? I'm not going to tell him. Not yet, at least. He already thinks I'm paranoid and taking all this too far. Haley gave a rueful shrug. I'll say I'm taking a fitness class with you. It's close enough to the truth. Natalie nodded thoughtfully. That might be for the best. I hate to even go there, but if Detective Tillett's right and it turns out Jake is behind what's been happening to you, then he has no business knowing that you've been learning how to defend yourself. I'm not taking self-defense classes to protect myself from my husband, Haley retorted. He wasn't the one prowling around in our house the other night. She twisted her lips. Besides, if he ever laid a hand on me, Katniss would take him down in a heartbeat. She glanced at her phone to check the time. Speaking of which, I need to pick her up. I'll catch you tomorrow. When Haley pulled up at the vet's office a few minutes later, Katniss was overjoyed to see her, and she had a hard time discouraging her from jumping up and bursting her stitches.
She needs to lay low for a week or two, the veterinarian assistant explained. No chasing madly after balls around the garden or anything of that nature.
What about food? Haley asked. Can she eat normally?
Yes, she's doing much better today.
She's been eating well, so no restrictions on that front. After settling the bill, Haley helped Katniss into the back seat of her Forerunner and chatted to her on the way home. Katniss pricked up her ears every so often when they passed a truck, but for the most part, she was content to lay her head on her paws and listen to Haley ramble.
At 7:45, she pulled into the driveway and parked behind Jake's car.
She helped Katniss out and then walked her around to the backyard to let her sniff about and take care of business before unlocking the back door and stepping into the kitchen. The house was bathed in darkness. She set down her purse and frowned. Maybe Jake had gone out for a drink with a friend. After all, she'd told him she would be home late. Jake? Are you here, babe? At her side, Katniss emitted a low growl at the back of her throat. Haley threw her an alarmed look. Her heart began to pound with fear.
Was there someone in the house again?
What is it, Katniss? She whispered.
She glanced across at the door leading out of the kitchen into the shadowy hallway.
Where was Jake? Suddenly, all her doubts about him came rushing back. Detective Tillett's warning echoed in her ears. Was her husband waiting to ambush her in the dark? It was a ridiculous idea, but she couldn't shake her misgivings as she listened in the darkness for the sound of someone moving around. Why wasn't he answering her? She glanced around, looking for something she could use as a weapon. Eyes alighting on the knife block on the counter, she quietly slid out the largest blade. Too bad she hadn't taken a couple of self-defense classes already. She couldn't count on Katniss in her weakened condition to be of any help. Gingerly, she crept over to the door and peered around it into the darkened hallway. Closing the kitchen door behind her to make sure Katniss didn't follow her, she padded softly over to the family room and peeked inside. The shadowy space was deserted, and nothing appeared to be disturbed. Silently, she crept toward the stairs. Quaking with fear, she began to climb to the second floor. Avoiding the creaky floorboard outside the guest bedroom, she tiptoed toward the master bedroom. The door was ajar, but the room was cloaked in darkness, just like the rest of the house. Cautiously, she stuck her head inside,
poised and ready to strike at any intruder. Her eyes widened, blood draining from her head at the shocking sight. Her husband lay motionless on the floor at the foot of their bed.
"Jake!" she shrieked. Tossing the knife aside, she shoved the bedroom door wide open and dropped to her knees at his side. "Jake! Jake, can you hear me?" She shook him gently, then frantically felt for a pulse. Relief flooded her. He was breathing. Her fingers scrambled for her phone. 911, what is your emergency?
My husband, she blubbered. I just got home. He's lying on the floor in our bedroom. He's unconscious.
Is he breathing?
Yes, but he's not saying anything. It's bad. Can you send an ambulance? Please, hurry.
The ambulance is on its way, ma'am. Can you confirm your address for me?
42 Springfield Place.
And what is your husband's name?
Jake Wilder. I'm his wife, Haley. Please, hurry.
Haley, does your husband have any visible injuries?
I don't know. There's no blood. I'm not sure.
How old is your husband?
He's 34.
Okay, Haley. The ambulance will be pulling onto your street in a couple of minutes. Can you open up the front door for the paramedics, please?
Yes.
She tore her eyes away from Jake's unmoving body, scrambled to her feet, and hurried down the stairs. Flashing blue lights assailed her as she flung open the door.
The ambulance is here,
she croaked into the phone. I'm going to hang up now, Haley, the dispatcher said. The emergency responders will take it from here. Haley led the two paramedics upstairs and watched through a haze of turmoil as they did a preliminary examination to determine the extent of Jake's injuries.
Contusion to the back of the head,
one of them said, placing an oxygen mask over his face.
Let's get him out of here.
Can I ride in the ambulance with him?
Haley asked, clutching the stair rail for support as she followed the paramedics.
Yes, ma'am. You can sit up front in the passenger seat.
Haley struggled to put the pieces together as the ambulance raced toward the hospital. Someone had struck Jake on the back of the head. The intruder must have come back, looking for her. Jake wasn't the intended victim. He'd simply been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Her heart ached for him. He'd borne the brunt of a vicious attack designed for her.
At least now he wouldn't be able to discount what was happening anymore. Her stalker had tried to kill her.
Twice. And he'd almost killed her husband in the process. She buried her face in her hands, overcome with emotion, trying not to lose it entirely.
At the hospital, the trauma team kicked into gear, buzzing around Jake and barking out orders.
Your husband has suffered blunt force trauma to the back of the head,
the ER doctor explained to Haley.
Our first priority is to make sure there's no swelling to the brain.
Despite her best intentions, tears began to stream down her face as it hit home how close she'd come to losing Jake.
We had an intruder in the house the other night, she said. He must have come back.
The doctor frowned.
Have you notified the police?
Yes, I made a report at the time. They've opened an investigation.
I'd like you to call the detective in charge right away,
the doctor replied.
We're obligated to report this kind of injury as suspicious, but if you already have someone working on the case, it would be helpful to bring him up to speed.
Haley nodded glumly. She watched as an orderly wheeled Jake away for an X-ray and MRI, and then pulled out her phone and dialed.
Detective Tillett speaking.
It's Haley Wilder, she said, her voice cracking. I'm at the hospital.
Are you all right?
He asked in a grim tone.
I'm fine. It's my husband, Jake. Someone hit him on the back of the head and knocked him out. I found him lying on our bedroom floor when I got home this evening.
I'm on my way. I'll send a team to your house and have it processed as a crime scene.
Thank you,
Haley said, sinking into a chair, energy seeping from her bones as the magnitude of what had happened hit her.
20 minutes later, Detective Tillett strode into the ER, accompanied by a female police officer. He pulled his brows together in concern when he spotted Haley.
Any word on your husband?
He's not back from the MRI yet. She rubbed her arms nervously. I guess this rules him out as a suspect. I can't imagine he was able to whack himself on the back of the head and hide the weapon before he passed out. Detective Tillett grimaced.
I admit that would be hard to accomplish. Do you have a key to your house that I can give my officer?
Sure, Haley said, rummaging around in her purse. Oddly enough, I just set up an appointment to have the locks changed tomorrow morning. It's as if the stalker knows my every move. She retrieved her key and passed it to the officer. By the way, my German Shepherd's in the kitchen. She was spayed yesterday, so she's not supposed to get excited or jump around or anything. The woman gave a nod of acknowledgement. We'll bear that in mind, ma'am. Detective Tillett issued a few more instructions to the police officer before she took off, and then turned to Haley.
Do you know what time Jake got home from work today?
No, I went to run a couple of errands after work, so I was late getting back. It was almost 8 o'clock. She swallowed a small sob. He could have been lying on the floor for hours for all I know.
Mrs. Wilder?
Haley glanced up to see the ER doctor striding back into the room, his expression unreadable. She half rose out of her chair, terrified of the news he was about to deliver.
Your husband has regained consciousness. He's asking for you. I'm happy to report that the MRI shows no bleeding on the brain and no skull fracture. He'll likely have a decent-sized knot on his head for a week or so, and a concussion. He has no recollection of what happened, but apart from that, he's going to be just fine.
Haley let out a shuddering sigh of relief. Thank you so much. Can I see him now?
Of course.
The doctor flashed her a cursory smile.
I'll have an orderly escort you to his room. We're admitting him overnight as a precaution.
Haley turned to Detective Tillett. Do you want to speak to him? He gave a curt nod.
I'll need to take his statement, even if he can't remember much. Rest assured, I'll be bumping up the priority on your case after tonight.
He accompanied her and the orderly into the elevator and up to the third floor where Jake had been admitted into a semi-private room. Haley ran to her husband's bedside and threw her arms around him, sobbing against his chest. Remorse that she'd ever suspected him of trying to hurt her overwhelmed her. Oh, Jake, I'm so glad you're all right.
I'm sorry I ever doubted you,
he replied weakly. Detective Tillett waited at a respectful distance until Haley had disentangled herself. He shook Jake's hand and introduced himself, and then sat down in a chair next to the bed.
I'm Detective Tillett. We haven't met yet, but I've been working on your wife's case.
Thank you,
Jake croaked. He winced as he adjusted his position on the pillow.
I have to admit I've been skeptical about the whole stalker thing at times. I was flat wrong.
Detective Tillett pulled out his notebook.
Did you manage to get a look at your assailant?
Jake drew his brows together in concentration.
No, he struck me from behind.
He?
Detective Tillett echoed.
Well, I assume it was a man. Haley thought it was a man's face at the kitchen window the other morning. And you didn't hear him approaching?
Detective Tillett pressed.
No, he was hiding behind the bedroom door. Any sign of forced entry when you arrived home? Not that I noticed.
Jake furrowed his brow.
I came in the front door. It was locked.
The back door was locked, too, Haley interjected. I went in that way. Detective Tillett grimaced.
I think it's safe to assume the intruder has a key to your house. You need to call an emergency locksmith and get those locks changed tonight. It can't wait until morning.
He tapped his pen on his notebook.
Are your cameras working properly now?
As far as I know, Haley replied. Unless the intruder deactivated them. Detective Tillett pulled out his phone.
I'll have my officers take a look at the footage while they're at your house.
Jake turned to Haley.
Why don't you call a locksmith right now? I don't want you staying at the house tonight unless the locks have been changed.
Haley pulled out her phone and started Googling. I won't cancel tomorrow's appointment until the job's done, just in case. Detective Tillett ended his call and set his phone down on the armrest of his chair.
My officers will get back to me as soon as they've had a chance to review the footage. Jake, did you happen to notice if any of your neighbors were at home when you pulled into your driveway?
He rubbed his brow.
It's all a bit hazy, to be honest. I'm pretty sure Becca and Anthony were home. I heard music coming through an open window. Liz's minivan was in her driveway, but I don't know if she was home or not. I don't remember seeing any lights on in the house. She and the kids could have been out and about with Stan in his car, I suppose. What about Harold Moore?
Jake shrugged.
He's always home, as far as anyone knows.
Detective Tillett's phone rang, and he slid his finger across the screen and pressed it to his ear.
Yeah?
The frown on his forehead deepened.
Yeah, okay. Good work. Keep me posted.
He ended the call and looked up, his gaze locking with Haley's.
They were able to retrieve the footage. Your intruder was a man in a black ski mask, roughly 6 foot in height. Just as you feared, he opened your front door with a key.
Chapter 19. After spending a couple of days at home recuperating, Jake insisted on going back to work, seemingly with no lingering side effects from the attack. Detective Tillett and his team had turned up no leads on the mysterious man in the black ski mask, other than that he had left on foot, which suggested he knew all about the newly installed cameras and had intentionally parked his vehicle out of range. It all jived with everything Haley had suspected for some time now, that her stalker had access to intimate details of her life and was well-versed in her comings and goings. It reignited her suspicions about her neighbors in the cul-de-sac. The approximate height of the intruder seemed to rule Harold out. Jim certainly had plenty of time at his disposal to conduct a campaign of terror, especially considering, by his own admission, he barely slept. And he was a hunter and a handyman, both useful skills for an intruder. Stan was a little over 6 foot tall, and he might have kept a key to her property after showing it, but what would be his motive for terrorizing her? And then there was Anthony. Maybe the stalking was his version of acting out some sick game he played online obsessively. The new locks gave Haley some assurance that the stalker could no longer enter her house freely, but Detective Tillett cautioned her to be doubly on guard when she was out and about, particularly getting into her car when she was alone or after dark. He warned that the stalker might become enraged once he realized the locks had been changed and attempt a more brazen strike. But as it turned out, the next attack came in a different form entirely. Haley was at her desk at work the following Monday when her smartphone pinged with a Facebook message. She reached for her phone, opened up the Messenger app, and glanced idly at the snippet that was visible. An unfamiliar number. Frowning, she clicked on the message and scanned through it, her chest tightening as the words sank in. "You think you got away with it, don't you?" Gasping out loud, she clapped a hand over her mouth. Her thoughts careened around inside her head as she reread the words. It could mean only one thing, the dark secret that still haunted her all these years later. She cast a quick glance around the office, half afraid someone might have noticed her horrified reaction, but the other paralegals were all engrossed in their work. As if sensing Haley's eyes on her, Natalie looked up and glanced in her direction. She raised her brows questioningly, some sixth sense telling her something was amiss. Haley's heart hammered a frenzied rhythm as she tried to pull herself together. What had happened with Emma was the only part of her past she couldn't tell Natalie about. She and her quad sisters had promised never to speak of it to anyone again, and for good reason. Hastily, she closed up her Messenger app and slipped her phone back into her purse. Pasting on a smile, she got to her feet and headed to the bathroom. Once inside, she locked herself in a stall and pressed her back to the door, forcing herself to take slow, steady breaths, terrified she would succumb to the full-blown panic attack that lately seemed only ever a heartbeat away. She was clinging to the edge of the cliff of sanity with her fingernails. One of these days, she might lose her grip and collapse in a blubbering heap, exposed to the world for who she really was. She took a few more deep breaths to calm herself, and then dug around in her purse for her phone. Her fingers shook so hard she almost dropped it on the tile floor. Opening up the Messenger app again, she prayed she'd only imagined the message, but the words loomed up at her. Taunting, condemning, a hangman's noose of letters that spelled out what she'd done. Sweating profusely, she drew her fingers across her brow, trying to figure out what it meant and what to do about it. Was it a threat of some kind? Was her past finally catching up with her? Apparently, someone knew what she'd done, but what did they want from her? Were they getting some sick satisfaction from tormenting her? Or were they intending to blackmail her? Tearing off a wad of toilet paper, she blotted the sweat from her forehead, trying not to mess up her foundation in the process.
She had to clear her head and think through the situation logically. It was possible the message wasn't connected to what had happened to Emma. Her paranoia could be getting the best of her again. Maybe it was even a random message meant for someone else. After all, she hadn't recognized the sender's number. It might have landed in her inbox by mistake. She scratched her scalp nervously. How could anyone have found out about what she'd done back in high school after all this time? No one else knew, other than her quad sisters. And it didn't make sense that any of them would send her a threatening message. They'd been in on what happened and were equally culpable. They wanted it to go away as much as she did. Haley gritted her teeth. She needed to pull herself together before she went back out to the office. She would work this out later. There was probably some way to track where the message originated. Jake might know how to do it, but she couldn't drag him into this. She still couldn't bring herself to tell him what she'd done. It would devastate him. She would have to get to the bottom of this on her own initiative. Her mind made up, she fished around in her purse for her lip gloss and applied a generous layer, then pulled her shoulders back in an effort to bolster her courage. Before she had a chance to exit the stall, the door to the bathroom opened and whooshed shut again.
"Hales?"
Natalie called out in a tentative tone.
"Are you in here?"
Haley closed her eyes and grimaced.
"Yeah, I'm here."
She flushed the toilet and opened the stall, willing her expression to bland neutral.
"Are you okay? You're white as a ghost."
Natalie laid a concerned hand on Haley's arm, as if afraid she was about to keel over.
"I'm fine," Haley slathered on a smile. "Just felt a little nauseous there for a minute or two."
Natalie's jaw dropped.
"Seriously? You're not pregnant, are you?"
Haley gave a hollow laugh. "No, of course not. Probably something I ate." Natalie looked unconvinced.
"Are you sure that's all it is? You don't seem yourself at all."
Haley bent over the sink and made a show of washing her hands. She couldn't meet Natalie's honest gaze. The lies from her past festered inside her like a cancer. That was the problem with lies. Once you told them, they never really died, and they definitely didn't make things better. You had to cater to them, embellish them, tart them up on occasion, but you could never ignore them in the vain hope they would eventually go away. They lived on inside you like a parasite eating at you, a dormant volcano, waiting for their cover to be blown. She hated lying to Natalie. It was slowly driving a wedge between them. Natalie was too good a friend to deceive, but she wouldn't understand how anyone could have carried out something as despicable as what the quads had done. Haley couldn't face the shame of telling her friend the truth, and seeing the shock and revulsion in her eyes as it dawned on her that Haley wasn't the halfway decent person she purported to be. She turned off the faucet and shook her hands into the sink. "I feel much better. The nausea has passed." Natalie shrugged, looking unconvinced as she exited the bathroom. Back at her desk, Haley dove into her work with renewed gusto, refusing to dwell on the unsettling Facebook message. She couldn't allow herself to become an emotional wreck and buckle under her workload. Nick had already expressed enough concern about her backlog, and she needed to prove she was every bit the worker he thought he'd hired. Her phone pinged again with a message as she was packing up for the day. She flinched, as though an arrow had struck her, then bent her head and made a show of tidying up her desk, even though her thoughts had instantly scattered. Her heartbeat resounded like a gong inside her chest. She would have to wait until she reached the privacy of her car before checking the message. She couldn't risk Natalie catching her and convincing her to divulge what was wrong.
"See you tomorrow, Nats,"
Haley chirped, trying to nail a carefree tone. Instead, her voice sounded thin and unsure of itself.
"Hold on a minute. I'll walk out to the car with you,"
Natalie responded, her eyes sweeping Haley's face like a scanner reading a barcode. Haley briefly considered telling her she had an appointment and needed to take off right away, but she didn't have the stomach for even an innocuous lie. Instead, she loitered by the door, trying not to appear as though she was falling apart inside, the message on her phone burning a hole in her purse.
"Okay, I'm all set," Natalie announced, walking over.
Together, they made their way down to the parking structure, Natalie chattering blithely about her day and a new case her boss had given her to research. Once the elevator doors opened, she turned to Haley.
"Look, I know there's something you're not telling me. I'm not going to keep pressing the issue, but if you want to talk about it, I want you to know I'm here for you. And if it's something to do with the stalker,
You need to call Detective Tillett ASAP. It's not safe to keep secrets now that you know for sure someone's trying to kill you.
Yeah, you're right, Haley replied with a tight smile. Believe me, I'm doing everything I can to protect myself. Why do you think I signed up for those self-defense classes?
Natalie sighed. I agree with Haruki that you're underestimating how dangerous the situation is. You should be taking lessons at the gun range.
I couldn't shoot anyone, Haley said, her stomach heaving at the thought. She already had Emma's death on her conscience. She'd never be able to take a life, not even in self-defense.
Just seeing a gun in your hand might be enough to send a stalker running, Natalie pointed out. Think about it. She beeped her car open and waved. See you tomorrow.
Haley unlocked her car and climbed in. She waited until Natalie exited the parking lot and then pulled out her phone and jabbed at it with shaking fingers until the app opened. Another message from the same sender popped up. The words blurred in front of her as tears stung her eyes. You're going to pay for what you did. It's only just begun. Her shoulders shook uncontrollably as she gripped the steering wheel. These weren't messages that had gone astray in cyberspace. She was the intended recipient, and she knew with growing certainty what they alluded to. But who had sent them? A tiny moan escaped her lips as a frightening thought hit her. It was the only logical explanation. One of the Quad sisters must have broken their vow of silence and confessed to someone. The dirty secret they had tried to bury was a secret no longer.
Chapter 20.
Haley scrunched her eyes shut, trying to stop the involuntary trembling that had spread to every part of her body. If one of the other Quad sisters had told someone what they'd done that day, it was only a matter of time before it all caught up with her, before the police came knocking on her door, and not to help her. She had more to fear now than a stalker. Everything was at stake. Her job, her reputation, even her marriage. A rap on the passenger side window startled her almost out of her skin, and she let out a small shriek. Jerking her head sideways, she spotted Lance peering in at her, his thatched brows drawn together over inquiring eyes. She hastily stuffed her phone into her purse and rolled down the window.
If you're having car trouble again, I might be able to help,
Lance said, his delivery flat and unemotional, as always. Thanks, Lance, but everything's fine, Haley assured him, her voice teetering on the edge of control. His nose twitched as though he sniffed out the lie.
You're crying,
he observed. I just got some bad news, Haley stuttered, turning the key in the ignition. I needed a moment. I'll be all right. Lance took a step back from the car, a befuddled expression on his face, as she reversed out of her parking spot and drove up the ramp to exit the garage. Grimacing, she pulled out into the evening traffic. She hadn't fooled Lance any more than she'd fooled Natalie. She needed to take control of this situation before everything fell apart and her whole life caved in. She couldn't count on Detective Tillett to help her with this any longer, not now that she knew what it was about. And she wasn't going to ask Jake to trace the messages either. It was far too risky. She would have to resolve things on her own. The first thing she had to do was figure out who was behind the messages, and that meant resurrecting the ghosts of her past. One of her Quad sisters had squealed, overwhelmed by guilt, or divulged in a moment of weakness. It was time to track them down. Perhaps some of the other Quads had been receiving threatening messages too. Maybe the stalker was targeting all of them. There was no telling where it would all end. Blackmail seemed a likely goal. Whatever the case, she had to get to the bottom of things, and she needed to do it swiftly and discreetly. She couldn't afford to waste another minute. Her best option was to hire a private investigator. Her mind made up, she pulled into a Target parking lot, turned off the engine, and began Googling PIs and checking out their websites. Some appeared to be more focused on technology and internet security, and she quickly dismissed those. One site in particular caught her attention with its slogan, "The truth is out there, and I can find it for you," boldly plastered across the banner at the top of the page. In the text beneath, it promised personalized, discreet service 24 hours a day. A one-person outfit. Exactly what she needed. She punched in the number and gripped her phone tightly to her ear.
Fisher Investigative Services, P.I. Fisher speaking.
Hi, my name's Haley. Her voice trailed off. She hadn't thought this through properly. Should she give her last name? There wasn't much point in trying to hide it. If the PI was any good at his job, he would soon find out the names of everyone in the Quad Squad, including hers.
How can I help you, Haley?
P.I. Fisher's tone was infused with equal measures of patience and assertiveness. No doubt he was accustomed to encouraging hesitant clients to talk. I was hoping you could help me track down some former friends of mine from high school.
Sure. Would you like to make an appointment to come in and kickstart the process?
Is there any chance I could come by now? After a brief pause, P.I. Fisher responded.
Works for me.
He rattled off an address and directions before hanging up. Haley plugged the details into her GPS and started up the car. Hopefully, the appointment wouldn't take too long and she could still beat Jake home. She didn't want to arouse his suspicions that she was hiding something from him. If he got wind of what she was up to, he would demand answers. And she wasn't prepared to confess everything to him and jeopardize the life she'd built with him. As she drove, she went over in her mind exactly what she would say to the investigator. Keeping it simple was probably the best approach. Sticking to her story that she wanted to reconnect with some old friends she'd lost contact with. With any luck, he wouldn't dig any deeper than necessary to root out her quad sister's current contact details. And even if he did stumble across the story and connect her to it, she could count on his discretion. His livelihood depended on it. P.I. Fisher's office was surprisingly small, tucked away above a strip mall, clean, minimalist, and well-organized. The desk sported only a MacBook Pro and a leather pen holder with a handful of pens, a single highlighter, and a pair of scissors. He stood and shook hands with Haley before gesturing her to take a seat opposite him. "I'm glad I caught you this late," she began. "I can't imagine you actually work 24 hours like your website claims." He stretched his lips into a polite smile, his hands interlaced in front of him on the desk.
"I'm available 24 hours a day if that's what it takes. Why don't you tell me a little more about these friends of yours you want me to track down?"
"We were very close in high school," Haley explained. "But we all went our separate ways when we moved out of the area, ended up drifting apart like so often happens. I'd like to try and reconnect with them before we all turn 30. We always used to celebrate our birthdays together."
"Do you have any contact with them on social media? Facebook or anything?"
Haley shook her head. "No. Like I said, we lost touch, and we haven't tried to make contact since. I don't have a Facebook account." She twiddled with her fingers, knowing he would find it odd, but they'd all agreed at the time that it would be best if there was nothing linking them with each other. P.I. Fisher angled a brow.
"Have you tried contacting any of their parents who are still in the area?"
Haley shifted uncomfortably in her seat. "I think most of them retired and moved away. In any case, I'd prefer to reconnect directly with my friends." P.I. Fisher gave a knowing nod, his piercing eyes evaluating her. She knew exactly what he was thinking, that there had to be a good reason she didn't want to contact the other women's parents, but she wasn't about to satisfy his curiosity. It was irrelevant to the job she was hiring him to do.
"Fair enough," he said,
his tone switching to businesslike and brisk.
"I'm going to need your friends' first names, last known addresses, and physical descriptions. If you have any photographs, they would be helpful, too."
He slid a list of questions across the desk to her.
"And if you happen to know their social security numbers or birthdays, even better."
Haley reached for a pen from the black leather holder on the desk and got to work. "How will you go about tracking them down?"
"It shouldn't be too hard," he said. "It's not like hunting down criminals on the run. Most of the time I can handle a straightforward request like yours online. I have lots of internet resources, and I also subscribe to several proprietary databases that provide me with the kind of basic information you're looking for. I assume you want a physical address and phone number. What about an email?"
"Yes, if possible," Haley replied. "It might be easier to send them a quick email first to see if they're even interested in reconnecting." She finished filling out the form and then handed over her credit card for P.I. Fisher to process an initial payment. "How long do you think it will take before you can get the information together?"
"A day or two at most."
He wiggled his brows.
"Just be prepared that this may not turn out the way you're hoping it will. I've been doing this a long time, and trust me when I say, you'd be amazed where some of your high school friends end up. Halfway around the world, dead and buried, or doing time."
Haley gave a tight smile, her stomach nodding at the throwaway comment that hit home. They should be doing time. She should be doing time. Let's hope for the best, she said as she got to her feet. Less than 48 hours later, Haley was curled up on her couch with her laptop balanced on the armrest next to her when an email notification from P.I. Fisher slid across her screen. Jake was seated to her left, engrossed in a documentary about the future of technology. Haley snapped her laptop closed with an elaborate yawn and got to her feet.
I think I'll turn in. I need to go into the office early tomorrow.
Okay. Night, sweetheart,
Jake said, scarcely glancing up from the television as she pecked him on the cheek. She climbed the stairs to their bedroom, sank down on the bed, and opened the email from P.I. Fisher. After scanning the contents, she pored over the information for several more minutes. It was more detailed than she'd expected. Despite his cautionary tales, it appeared that none of her quad sisters was doing time or 6 feet under. All three had married, and Tina and Vivian each had a child. Lachlan was a radiologist and married to a lawyer in Los Angeles, and judging by the zip code she lived in, she and her husband were doing extremely well for themselves. Haley wet her lips as she clicked on the first contact. She would email each of them separately. Once she determined which of them had betrayed their vow of silence, she would decide what to do about it. Chapter 21. Haley's fingers moved over the keyboard, hesitantly at first, and then faster, whipping out the message she'd rehearsed in her mind multiple times already. Hey, Viv. It's Haley. I know you never expected to hear from me again, but something critical has surfaced. In case you're wondering, I hired a private investigator to track you down. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Someone has been talking. I've been getting Facebook messages from a stranger, threatening messages alluding to what happened. You know what I'm referring to. Whoever this person is, they know something. They've been stalking me and harassing me, telling me I'm going to pay. My tires were slashed and a box of rotten fruit was delivered to my house. They're trying to intimidate me, maybe even kill me. They cut my brake line recently and broke into my house and beat up my husband. I need to know if you told anyone, or even dropped a hint to anyone. I have to put an end to all this before it goes any further. And I have to do it quickly. My life's in danger. Please email me or call me as soon as you get this. My number is 916-323-0791. HX forever. Haley let out a slow breath, staring at the Quad Squad's secret signature that she hadn't used since her sophomore year in high school. She swallowed back the trepidation oozing its way up her throat. She was about to delve back into a world she dreaded revisiting. But there was no other way to resolve this. Before she could change her mind, she saved the message to her drafts folder and made a copy each for Lachlan and Tina. When she was done, she sank back against her pillows, reading and rereading what she had written, questioning what she was about to do, and trying to picture her quad sister's reactions. All of a sudden, she heard Jake's footsteps coming up the stairs. Before she could talk herself out of it, she clicked send on the messages. Then slammed the lid closed on her laptop and stuffed it under her side of the bed. She wriggled under the duvet and closed her eyes, feigning sleep when Jake came into the room. He made his way to the bathroom and she listened to the whirring of his electric toothbrush, followed by the sound of the toilet flushing. When he climbed into bed, he fluffed up his pillow before flopping down on his side with a weary grunt. Minutes later, his gentle snores filled the room. Haley's eyes popped open. She rolled onto her back and stared up at the shadowy ceiling. When she was sure Jake had sunk into a deep sleep, she quietly turned back the duvet, slipped out of bed, and reached for her laptop. She wasn't going to be able to sleep anyway, and she wasn't about to resort to the sleeping pills again under any circumstances.
She might as well wait up in the kitchen for a bit, on the off chance any of the quads responded to her email tonight.
Fingers wrapped around a freshly brewed cup of chamomile tea, Haley scrolled aimlessly through Instagram, checking out mundane pet posts and humorous memes, willing herself to calm down enough to sleep. Every so often, Katniss lifted her head from her paws and peered over at her, as if questioning what she was doing up this late. After checking her email for the umpteenth time, Haley let out a frustrated sigh. No one was going to respond tonight. Even if the other quads had read her email, they'd probably take some time to think it over before deciding whether to reply or ignore her. Just as her eyes began to grow drowsy and she'd resigned herself to turning in for the night. A notification zipped across her screen. She pulled a few shaky breaths together. Lachlan. With trembling fingers, she opened up her Gmail and clicked on the message. H. I don't know what you think you're playing at, but if this is some kind of attempt to intimidate or threaten me, make no mistake, I will take legal action. My husband is a well-connected attorney, and he won't hesitate to take any action he deems necessary to silence you. We agreed not to contact each other again. We were bound by oath never to speak of what happened, and I can assure you I haven't as much as hinted at it to anyone in the intervening years. Whatever kind of mess you've got yourself into, you're on your own. Consider this your final warning to serve as notice of unwarranted harassment. Your attempts to connect with me are unwanted and unwelcome. Leave me and my family alone, or you'll regret it. L. Haley reread the email in a daze. It had obviously been fired off in anger. A quicker response than she'd anticipated. Certainly not the one she'd been hoping for. Lachlan had made it very clear that she had no desire to involve herself in what was happening. Nor had she expressed any shock or curiosity at the fact that someone knew about what they'd done. Haley groaned inwardly. Maybe Lachlan really believed she was only trying to stir things up. At least she'd confirmed that she'd kept her lips sealed all these years. Haley had no choice but to take her word for it and wait for the other quads to respond. She shut down her laptop and stared morosely at the black screen for a long while before getting to her feet. By the time she finally retired to bed, it was after 2 in the morning. She woke with a start the next day and peered anxiously at the wall, certain there was something important she was supposed to jump on right away, but her mind was too sluggish with sleep to recall what it was. Jake was already up, and she could hear the shower running in the adjoining bathroom. Tossing the duvet aside, she swung her legs over the edge of the bed and sat up. As soon as her feet touched the floor, the emails she'd sent to her quad sisters flashed to mind. A shiver of anticipation ran down her spine. She belted her robe around her and hurried downstairs. After letting Katniss out into the backyard, she placed an oversized mug beneath the Keurig, welcoming the tantalizing aroma of fresh coffee. She carried her mug and laptop over to the kitchen table and opened up her Gmail, holding her breath as she went through the emails in her inbox. She hit refresh several times, but to her dismay, no responses from the other quads popped up. Either they hadn't checked their email yet, or they were reeling from the shock of hearing from her after all these years and debating what to do about it. Haley slammed her laptop shut in frustration and took her coffee upstairs to shower and dress for work. As the morning progressed, she struggled to keep her focus and finish the work Nick had earmarked as priority. "Something bothering you?" Natalie asked, pausing briefly at Haley's desk on her way to the staff lounge. Haley smiled weakly. "Just a rough night. I couldn't sleep. Another shot of coffee will get me through." Natalie gave a disparaging snort. "It's me you're talking to. I know something's up, but if you don't want to chat, that's your call. Just don't tell me everything's okay when evidently it isn't. I'm getting tired of being lied to." Natalie strode off before Haley could respond. She twisted the ends of her hair nervously, shocked at the tone Natalie had taken with her. The last thing she wanted to do was alienate the one true friend she'd made here, but she was pushing Natalie further and further away by her ongoing evasiveness. Her past felt as though it was encroaching like a mountainous wall of water, a tsunami threatening to bury her in the debris of her lies. When lunch rolled around, Haley grabbed her car keys and marched out of the office with a determined air, praying Natalie wouldn't intercept her. In the parking garage, Lance gave her a discreet nod from the dumpster where he was busy emptying trash. An involuntary shiver crossed her shoulders as she strode toward her car. Despite having written him off as harmless, it bothered her that he often seemed to be working down here when she was leaving. She was about to turn the key in the ignition when a thought occurred to her. Was it possible he was spying on her for someone else? If that was the case, maybe she could sweet-talk him into divulging who had put him up to it. She left her purse lying on the passenger seat and walked hesitantly over to him, chewing on her lip. His eyes twitched in her direction as she approached. He stopped tossing garbage bags into the dumpster and plunged his hands awkwardly into his pockets.
"Everything all right?"
he asked, jerking his chin at her car. Haley stretched a pitiful smile across her face. "Yes, thanks, Lance. My car's fine,
But I wanted to ask you something. I figured you might know the answer, as you seem to spend a lot of time down here.
He rubbed a hand dubiously across his jaw.
Oh?
Haley furrowed her brow and then lowered her voice to a tremulous whisper. Have you by chance noticed anyone watching me, hanging around in the shadows, or by my car? Anything suspicious like that? Lance scratched his scalp for several minutes, staring at his feet. When he looked up again, his eyes were filled with concern.
Is someone bothering you? 'Cause if they are, you should report them.
Haley heaved her shoulders up and down in dramatic fashion. That's just it. I don't know who it is. Otherwise, I would have reported them already. Someone's been sending me threatening messages on social media, and I have the feeling they've been following me. She wrapped her arms around herself and waited for Lance to respond. He shuffled his feet nervously.
Can't say I've seen anyone hanging about. And I've been keeping an eye on things down here ever since your tire was slashed.
He jerked his chin up at the cameras protruding from the corners of the parking garage.
They won't get away with it now that the cameras are working again.
Haley smiled gratefully. You're right. That makes me feel better. Thank you, Lance. I'm sorry to have bothered you. He nodded solemnly, then turned to haul another garbage bag from his trash cart and toss it into the dumpster. Haley walked back to her car and started it up with a resigned sigh. Lance wasn't savvy enough to be duplicitous. She was fairly certain he wasn't spying on her on anyone's behalf. He was only doing his job, and he was very conscientious about it. It was time she separated her paranoia from the real threat, or she'd never get to the bottom of things. She pulled out of the parking garage and drove to a quiet coffee shop on a side street where she was unlikely to run into any of her colleagues. Her stomach wasn't up to holding down a full lunch, but she could use a caffeine and sugar rush to fight her exhaustion. Armed with a mocha and a carrot and pumpkin seed muffin, she wound her way to a small table tucked in the back corner of the cafe. She lifted her steaming drink to her lips and began scrolling through her messages and emails. Sucking in a breath, she set the paper cup back down on the table, untouched. Vivian had responded.
H. I got your email. My skin's been crawling ever since. I can't believe what's been happening to you. Trust me, I haven't breathed a word to anyone all these years. I wouldn't have dared to after what we went through. I haven't received any messages or threats yet, but I'm afraid I might be next. If they found out about you, then they know about all of us. I still can't forgive myself for what we did. My high school self haunts me to this day. I just keep rereading your email in disbelief. I have a 3-year-old son now, Alex. I hope I haven't put him in any danger. My husband doesn't know about what happened. I haven't had any contact with Lachlan or Tina since high school, but I can't picture either of them saying anything. We swore on our lives we wouldn't. What are we going to do? I'm so scared. How are we going to find out who this person is? And what if there's more than one of them? If they go to the police, we're screwed. Our lives are over. Even if they don't prosecute us, the scandal would ruin our lives, not to mention my husband's dental practice. Email me back and let me know what you find out as soon as you hear from the others. VX forever. Haley stared at the signature that had once ignited such a feeling of belonging inside her and now denoted guilt by association. Vivian's reaction had been on the opposite end of the spectrum to Lachlan's, but the gist of her response was the same. She'd told no one about what happened. That left Tina, who had yet to reply, and perhaps she never would. After all, if she'd been the one who'd let slip their secret, it was unlikely she'd be willing to come clean and admit it without some pressure being put on her. Haley tapped her fingernails impatiently on the table, debating her next move. The customer at the adjacent table looked up from his book and threw her an irritated look. She grimaced an apology as she reached for her mocha. She would give Tina until the end of the day to respond. After that, she would pick up the phone and call the number P.I. Fisher had dug up. One way or another, she would hunt down the creep who was destroying her life and put an end to his campaign of terror before he struck again.
Chapter 22.
At 5 o'clock, Haley began packing up her desk, her stomach churning with apprehension. Tina still hadn't responded to her email. There was nothing else for it but to take the initiative and call her. But she couldn't wait until she got home in case Jake was already back from work. She would have to look for a quiet spot to pull over somewhere along the way. From her desk,
Natalie threw Haley a reproachful look before swinging her purse over her shoulder and getting to her feet. As she strode to the door, she made a point of bantering with the other paralegals. It pained Haley.